In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on the feast of the Apostles Peter and Paul, we have readings about what it means to be an apostle, both from Matthew and from Corinthians, from 2 Corinthians. Yesterday, we had readings from the epistles of St. Peter, and the Gospel also was about St. Peter. The Gospel cannot be about St. Paul. He was a persecutor of Christ well into the apostolic era, and then he repented. So the Gospels do not mention him. The Acts do. And of course, many letters. What does it mean to be an apostle? St. Peter defines it by his actions. It's always better to define things with your actions than with your words. So the Lord says, two questions. One is completely unimportant and yet takes up much of our time. And one is of priceless importance. Is the most important question. And takes up too little of our time. First he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he uses this messianic title that shows that he is incarnate. Because to be a son of a man, you have to be a human being. So he calls himself the Son of Man, the Son of David. That is referring to his humanity, his incarnation. And so they answer him and say, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and some Jeremias, and one of the prophets. Generally, there's always lots of conflicting information about anything. And Jesus Christ was no exception. People had many opinions about him. Some thought he was possessed. Some thought that he was the prince of the demons. Some thought he was a coward or an imposter. Some thought he was going to be a king that would crush Rome. Many opinions about him. And then he asked the important question. But whom do ye say that I am? It's an important question. Not with an obvious answer. Of course, the answer that we would give is that we believe he's God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe this. That's not the real answer. Of course, that's part of the answer. That's, of course, true. But the real answer is that we believe in him and wish to follow him. So there has to be conviction in the answer, or it's not true. At least it's not true for us. Because truth is of no effect if we do not live according to it. If we don't live according to Jesus Christ, who is true, we will not be saved. So, of course, our answering truthfully or untruthfully doesn't make it in an absolute sense true or untrue. But we must answer with conviction. And Simon Peter did. He spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here he uses another messianic title, Christ anointed. Men are anointed, and the Holy Spirit abides on them. And so, the Son of Man, the Son of David, also the Son of God, was anointed. And Peter uses both a reference to his humanity and to his divinity when he confesses him. And so Jesus is pleased and says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Peter is Petros. He's making a pun here. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he tells him how the apostles, and therefore their successors, would have the power to loose and bind sins. The critical thing is that Peter made a fervent confession with feeling, with desire, with intent. to live according to this confession. He gave up everything to follow him. And yet we see Peter, because he's a man, made mistakes. And even though he made this confession and believed that Jesus was the Christ and the Son of the living God, in other words, God and man, when it was time for the crucifixion, he became afraid. And he denied him 3 times. But the gates of hell did not prevail against the church or Peter, because Peter repented. You see, the gates of hell not prevailing against the church does not mean that the church sails in still waters. We're still human beings. We still make mistakes. We still do terrible things. And we still have a lot of weakness. But God makes our weakness strong. And there is the other element of what makes an apostle great. And we should be like this too, so we can become great. First, the confession with intent. Second, to recognize that we are nothing without Christ. St. Paul says this at the end of this selection of his epistle. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities than the power Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we must have the confession of Christ, and we must have a firm conviction, an inner knowledge known by experience that we are weak and that we have infirmities and we can do nothing without Christ. And yet, in the midst of glorying in our infirmities and admitting them freely, we become great because God will help us in all things. And the man who feels he is nothing without Christ is everything with him. But the man who thinks he's something is nothing. This is what made the apostles great. This is what has made the saints great. This firm confession in Christ with intent, not just a fact that we can say, but have meaning behind what we say, intent behind what we say, and this firm conviction and knowledge that we are nothing without Christ. This is counter on both points to what the world teaches and is always taught. The world really does not want to submit to God. Man is too proud to do that. So we always find ways to not submit to God, to make God a little bit less like God. We make him in our image, even within Christian churches. And so even within our personal lives, perhaps not by uttering a heresy, but by thinking that he has not always seen what we see, what we do. Not so much in so many words, but we act like it. So sometimes our God is a very unknown God. But to the apostles, he wasn't unknown. To the apostles, he was well known. And Peter confessed this. We see other confessions too. The apostle Thomas, after a time of great weakness and moral challenge, said, "My Lord and my God," and confessed him as God and man. And we can see by the way Peter lived his life, and Paul, and all the apostles, that their conviction was firm. It was not just a fact that they knew. It was the reason they lived. Peter, to the end of his days, was very humbled by his denial of Christ. He always remembered it. He became great. A forceful preacher. A great miracle worker. But he became intensely humble. And so when he was to be crucified He requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified in the same way as his Lord. He did not feel he was worthy. To the end of his days, he remembered that he had denied Christ, that the sin had been forgiven. It's not that he doubted that sin was forgiven, but he still felt the terrible weight of that sin. He remembered that day when he denied his Lord. It was with him to the end of his days. That's glorying in your infirmities. The world didn't like that. The world would label that as poor self-esteem or being neurotic or not getting over it. But we Christians know that we must glory in our infirmities. We must recognize, we must own that we are weak. The apostles did. And God is great. And if we own those two things with conviction, then God will help us in all things. And we will conquer all things. After many difficulties, after many falls, after some things that are terrible, even that we do, we will conquer. So this is the secret. Of course, it's an open secret for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. But it's nonetheless a secret because the world doesn't understand it. The secret of the power of the apostles. It is in Peter's confession and in his humility. And the apostles shared in this confession and in this humility. Maybe some of them came to this understanding a little bit later, even after the resurrection. It was said that some did not believe. Some doubted, it said. But eventually, as they were able, they knew and understood, and they lived according to this understanding. So, we can see the process in Peter's life. We can see it in Paul's life. We can see it in all the apostles. There's a progression. We're no different. There's a progression. Eat a little bit better every day. Do some bad things, do some good things, but always have the conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that without Him we can do nothing. And then we proceed, and we get better and better. That's what happened to the apostles. That's what happened to all the saints. And that's what will happen to us if we have this confession. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we glory in our infirmities. May God bless you and help you in all things.